Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, again, welcome to Black on Black Crime. As you know, this is our weekly show where we talk about whatever issues are coming to mind and what's going on where people are committing black on black crime. So if you haven't heard the intro or if this is your first time joining us, black on black crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. Today our number is area code 909-265-9189. If you want to join in on the program, it's 909-265-9189. On this program, actress Janet Hubert from The Fresh Prince, is what she played in a long time ago, versus talk show host Wendy Williams. Now, Hubert played Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince. She wrote an open letter to Wendy Williams after Tatiana Ali's appearance on there last week. That is going to be our main topic for today. And Jada Pinkett Smith, no, I don't think she committed a black-on-black crime, but I'm going to ask the question because she posed the question. She said, should every black woman's magazine stay black? Should they have white females on the cover? And she said she's just posing a question. So I have much respect for Jada Pinkett Smith. Also, we have Urban Radio Shakeup. It's Michael Bazin, in case you didn't know. We want to talk about that, entertainment, updates, and more. If you missed our last show, we had a discussion about actor, comedian, and talk show host Steve Harvey. He asked the question, it was him versus Hollywood racist, and we had black biopics, Virtues versus Vices at the movies. Which one would you prefer to see? And KRS-One song, Disaster Kit. So if you want to check that out on the archives or on iTunes, check it out, Black on Black Crime. This would be last week's show. So before we get started, let me add in finesse to the program.
Well, good afternoon. I thought I was going to commit a black on black crime with you, but I see you got my message, so we good.
And you know, the funny thing is, I didn't get your message. I was going to commit one because I didn't know I was committing a black on black crime, which does not count if I didn't know.
Well, even if you didn't know.
See, I still got it.
I know I got a flag, so it wouldn't matter no way. I'm gonna try to be on my best behavior today because the topics that we talk about, you know, this is gonna be time to educate. The Michael Bazin piece,
yep.
The one on the Jada Pinkett and the black magazines, and even the Wendy Williams one. I'm really gonna try to because there's an educational process that has to go here.
And every now and then on the show, you know, we'll have weeks where we have frivolous topics and we talk about a lot of different things, but these topics, seriously, we need to talk about. So it's one thing that I know I spoke to the commissioner about this, talked to Kathleen about this before. Black on black crime, we deal with this from a serious perspective. Sometimes we joke when there's nothing there. When there's something there, we have to address it. So we're going to address it on these subjects. Before we get started, though, for those people who saw C-SPAN last night, I missed this, but C-SPAN aired footage from the Women's Suffrage Reenactment March this past Sunday. It was the Deltas put together a reenactment march, and they covered Delta Sigma Theta's reenactment of women's suffrage. So catch it on a rerun. I don't know when it's broadcast in your area, but that's also there. Also, in spirit of what we talked about, Black Hollywood last week with Steve Harvey, Hollywood, their ignoring of black cowboys kind of made me do this story because I didn't know the Lone Ranger, for example, is believed to be inspired by Bass Reeves. Now, he's the black lawman who used disguises and had a Native American sidekick. and went through his whole career without being shot. I guess the Lone Ranger was kind of based on him, and in 1956, the John Ford film, The Searchers, was partly inspired by Britt Johnson, another black cowboy whose wife and children were captured by Comanches in 1865. And in the film, John Wayne plays a Civil War vet who spent years looking for his niece and their family who was abducted by Native Americans. So
wow. I did not know that.
And the interesting thing for me is we watch film adaptations of black folk stories, characters, and still till the day, we act like it doesn't happen.
Well, it's not the fact that what you're saying is true. Let me say that. But, every day everyone should be open to learning something new, and that's something new. I did not know that the Lone Ranger was based off a black character.
Mm-hmm.
That's something. And we'll deal with this because this ties in with what we're going to discuss with the magazine. So I'll hold off for now, but that is, again, that's shocking.
Yeah.
That's something. That's shocking.
And it's funny because it all kind of ties in, doesn't it? Like, when you really think about it, we are fighting today of trying to keep black networks, black radio, black stations, and half of the black folks who have grown up from the 80s and beyond, or even in the 90s, acts like everything's cool. Especially when we deal with the Jada Pinkett and dealing with the magazine stuff.
See, you're trying to get me started early.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not trying to get you to save it, but there is a lot on this one. And also, a study from Tufts University found that some white people believe that they have replaced blacks as primary victim of racial discrimination. Now, according to the study, researchers from Tufts University and Harvard Business School, don't know why they wanted to do a study, both whites and black agree that anti-black racism has decreased over the last 60 years. I can debate that, too. The study findings show that America has not achieved a post-racial society. I don't know why they needed another study for that. In a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all, and 10 being very much, 11% of whites said that anti-white bias in America is a 10 compared to being a 2 whites against black people. So we're talking about, they believe that they're discriminated against 90% more than black people are discriminated against. And we are minorities.
Lord, help me. Please help me. Please help me to be quiet today.
You're not going to be able to do it. I can tell you that right now because I can't do it. I read the story, and I said, you know what, we're going to start the show off with some information today. That's not even funny because now white folks feel like with the images of black people, for some reason, that black people have a leg up. That's why they want to take away from affirmative action. That's why they want voters' right legislation because, you got too many black people in political office, which we know we don't have any. And it's funny that they did a study that just shows that they believe that they are being discriminated against. Now, how much brainwashing do you have to believe that that's true? I would say a lot. Like, that is a lot of brainwashing.
Where was the study done?
I don't know where Tufts University is, but it was with Tufts University, and it was their School of Arts and Sciences and Harvard's Business School. I don't know if they asked just students. It doesn't say. It just gives us the number of participants, but it doesn't say where they came from demographically. But if they asked people from Harvard, I'm sure Harvard said, we got too many black people in Harvard. I'm just joking out. That's true. But
I'm holding off. I'll address that later.
You have a lot of stuff to address later.
I wish we had a mute button right about now.
We don't need a mute button for this one. I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Before we get this show started, we're going to mix it up a little bit, and we're going to come back. Our main story today is Janet Hubert versus Wendy Williams, the comments that she made in her open letter to Wendy Williams. And we have Jada Pinkett Smith poses a question about black women's magazines. Is it right? Or I guess she's asking, is it time for women to just look out for women and have white women on the cover? But we'll talk about that later. But before we get to that, I didn't ask you what was going on with you. How was your week? What was going on?
Well, it's funny because you bring up black films, and so I want to black actors and films and all that stuff early on. So I want to tie this in, and we'll give more information as it comes about, but on August 3rd of this year, we will be having our first ever Black Film Festival in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's going to be kind of small at first, but we still invite everybody to come. We hope to make this an annual event and also looking to take it to a few other cities. But this will be our first city, our city and state that will be doing this. August 3rd, 2013, is going to be an all-day event. We're going to have castings for some independent films that will be coming up. We're going to have workshops, and then we're going to have, I think we're going to have about six films. So it's going to be a really good event. I can't wait. August 3rd. Greensboro, North Carolina, here we come.
Cool.
And that's really it. I've got some artists who are shooting some music videos over the next few weeks. And my entertainment column has expanded more in the Baltimore Times. So we'll keep you posted on that and send the link so you guys can read that online. That's it. I've been really laying low.
Right. I know. Laying low and putting in work. That's how we're supposed to do. All right. We'll make sure we check on that. And, you know, before each show, we don't really go through this, but give a contact email address or do you want it to go to your Solar Syracuse and we'll forward it to you.
You give them the Solar Syracuse one. I have so many emails, I don't even remember that.
Okay, so just write BOBC, that's Black on Black Crime, BOBC at SolarSyracuse.com in care of Finesse, and we'll get the email to them. You do have a Solar Syracuse email address, and I don't know what it is right now.
I'm glad you know.
I don't know what address it forwards to because you have a lot of email addresses, so you may not be getting it.
We're going to have to work that one out.
Okay, we'll work out the details of that a little later. There's also a story about, I kept skipping over this and not getting a chance to do it, but someone came out talking about student athletes and what their scholarship contracts are, saying that when you're being recruited, I know it's the season that people are signing and going to different colleges for sports, but for a four-year scholarship, every high school football, it's kind of every high school football player, basketball player, track, you know, have these dreams of receiving a scholarship. But when they receive it, they're only actually 1 year renewable discretionary financial aid packages, which means if you get there after the first year and you show out, they can take your scholarship away. They're technically not four-year scholarships. The financial aid package is only 1 year, but it's renewable every year. So regardless of the talk, we're going to treat your son like he's our own, and we stress education and get your degree to all of our players. That's what the coaches say during recruitment. Once you're on campus, if the athlete does not perform to the level of the coach's expectation, this is in their contract, the athlete runs the risk of having his full ride scholarship canceled after a subpar season. So watch those contracts.
What that says is if we don't win.
Or at least get a little better.
Get a little better. We will cut your son or daughter.
We will make scholarship room for somebody else is what they're
exactly
saying.
And speaking of, here's some breaking news. Tiger Woods won.
Yes, I was just watching.
And, which will tie in with something else, even though it's sports, it's still entertainment, despite a winning record at Minnesota, they have fired Tubby Smith.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
Okay, I didn't see that coming.
Yes, I didn't see that. I did not see that coming either, and I was on another sports radio show, and we were talking about the plight of black coaches, and he was one of the ones that, you know, we were talking about that still was holding on to his job and had a winning record. And they fired him today.
Man, and we should have just pretty much added it on to the rest of our shows of successful shows, successful coaches, successful teachers who all get fired just because. I don't know the reason why.
I'm going to touch on this. I'm going to touch on it. Because that upset me already. He's a man, and I think his record was 154-81. I believe that's what his record was. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's what it was. He's at Minnesota, and Coach Dean and I had this conversation over the weekend as well, because he was talking about his experience when he was coaching college basketball. There would be white coaches that would say, you do not want to go play for this black man. And the word black man wasn't used.
Was prominent, yes.
So he's out in Minnesota. How many recruits, I mean, how much better can he get in Minnesota? And mind you, before he got to Minnesota, they were kind of horrible. They made the NCAA a few times, but when Tubby Smith got there, he kind of changed that all around.
Mm-hmm.
What other coach are you going to go get? You fire a coach with a winning record? And I say that with any coach, really. You got to fire a coach with a winning record?
Right.
Something's wrong with you. It's not like this man didn't have you in the NCAA for practically every year. You know, if you get hot at the right minute, who would have thought Georgetown would have lost this weekend to Harvard?
that goes to my philosophy on the NCAA when they started putting in those rules to try to get those students out of the big schools. Those kids that, you know, you kind of blacklist and say, we don't want them on our campus, they're going to go and you're going to see, like, really talented teams come from those smaller schools and not know where they came from.
Well, it's also, too, that before you had all these major TV deals, the majority of black athletes were being recruited for the same old schools, the Duke, the North Carolinas.
Right.
So a lot of these college programs weren't, you know, you had the same schools that always stayed good. Now they're going anywhere they can start. So now you're seeing more parity in the NCAA, which I like. I like that because it's nice to see other colleges involved. I like the Florida Gulf story. I like the Harvard story because it's not just the major schools where these kids can ball. It's other programs where they can ball. So it's nice to see those David and Goliath type stories. What I have a problem with, when you fire coaches with a winning record and you go get a coach that's a retread, and especially when you fire black coaches who have a winning record, and people don't know the behind the scenes of what these coaches go through to try to make their program good, and you have other supposedly professional coaches who are saying the kind of stuff which Coach Dean, he and I just talked about, where they're saying you don't want to go play for a black coach. A black coach can't do nothing for you. And they're not even telling this to white players, but they're telling this to black players.
Oh, right. And that is the trick, is that they tell black players to not get them to go play for black coaches.
Yeah.
And then you have people like T.J. Carlissimo standing out of the woodwork. But I guess that's not a black-on-black, right? Why would he still be in the pros?
Don't get me started. Because those players didn't play for Avery Johnson, but you playing for P.J. Carlissimo?
Hey.
Come on, man. Don't get me started.
I know.
Don't get me started.
I'll
feel a flag.
You're not getting the flag. Commissioner will be checking in another 20 minutes, so we got time before the flags come out.
Oh, you know she's listening. She be pulling out. I got an email from her. You got 15 flags.
We'll make sure we cut back on those. All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this message.
Welcome to Esprinet News, 90-second news break. U.S. manufacturing activity rebounded last month thanks to a strong increase in vehicle production. U.S. investment bank Citigroup is to pay $730 million to settle a class action suit by bondholders bought over the financial crisis. President Barack Obama received the highest civilian award at the state dinner in Jerusalem. Israeli president presented him with the Medal of Distinction because of his tireless work to make Israel strong to make peace possible. The president also toured religious sites and spoke to 600 college students about the prospects of peace in their lifetime. King of comedy, stand-up comedian, and popular film and television actor Cedric the Entertainer has been named the new host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, joining the long-running game show beginning with its 12th season in national syndication this fall. Cedric can be seen in the TV Land sitcom, which he co-created, entitled Soul Man. Motown, the musical, grossed over $1 million after its first week of previews on Broadway. The production doesn't actually open officially until April 14th. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for Esprinet News on ACN.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Toyota Prius. Those who get it, get it.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with Finesse. You know, we just did the NCAA story, so play at your own risk. Make sure your kids are looked after. I want to say what's up to Coach Dean. You're going to have to give us some vitals on Coach Dean's show that's coming up with you, Finesse.
Oh, we're due. It's coming up soon.
Okay. Well,
probably, hopefully by the summer.
Hopefully by the summer? Okay. So before we get into this, I just want to say, you know, Commissioner is running a little late. Daniel is running a little late. We're not sure when he's going to be around. But our main topic today is Wendy Williams and Janet Mabair, Aunt Viv from The Fresh Prince, is their character that she plays. She's a Broadway actress and a star in Broadway, so don't want to kind of label her from that one particular program. Right now, Jada Pinkett Smith posed a question for everyone. Now, here's the question. She said she wants to ask today, and I'm asking a question out of the spirit of thinking outside the box in order to open doors to new possibilities. These possibilities may be realistic or unrealistic. I also want to make it clear that there's no finger pointing here. Now, I want to say this before I continue. Jada Pinkett was at the Million Woman March, and nobody's doubting her selling out the community at all. The way she posed the question, I think, was kind of nice. She said, I posed this question in hopes that it opens the discussion about how we can build a community for women based upon us talking or taking a deeper interest in one another. Now, what she says is this. With love and respect to all parties involved, my question is, if we ask our white sisters who tend to be guardians of the covers of mainstream magazines to consider women of color to grace these covers, should we not offer the same consideration to white women to grace our covers? For example, Essence and Ebony, Jet. Should we not give them the offer? Finesse is holding his breath. Get at it, Finesse. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. And I have to break this down. Did Jada commit a black-on-black crime? And I agree with everything you say with Jada. I think she created a black-on-black crime because she asked a question. And the only reason why I say that is because and I know she's trying to do a dialogue, but there's a different way she could have approached it than to ask that question. Because and I'm going to say this from a media standpoint. From a media standpoint, when we're looking for information or looking about should we change things, that right there gives them an answer to, oh, you know what? Well, maybe it is time. Because they're going to go through comments based on it and choose the ones that they like for their media research.
Right.
And so if folks don't think that they don't use Facebook and Twitter for media research, especially to get topics and all that, I disagree, and I put this in a post yesterday. There's nothing wrong with having your own magazine, radio, TV, newspaper for your culture. That's how you keep your culture alive. There's nothing wrong with that. And there is nothing wrong with somebody else appearing on your cover if it fits or whatever story or if they've crossed over or whatever it is. The problem is that they're not going to return the favor. And what's
right.
So funny is Essence is not owned by Taylor anymore. It's owned by the same person that owns Cosmopolitan.
Time Inc. or someone owns
right.
All of those magazines, yeah.
And here's how they threw it in our face to make it, and it's not even funny. For those people who don't know, Charlize Theron, born in Africa.
Right.
So as many black folks that run around here and say they're African-American, she definitely is African-American. Let's put it out there. She's African-American. So what they try to do is say, okay, well, this is a black magazine, and black folks always call themselves African-American. So let us go ahead and put a real African-American on there. See, it's like a pun. It's like they've thrown it in our face. So they
right.
could say, well, we put somebody that's African-American. She is from Africa, is she not? So it's made to look, and that's what they do. They try to make it a jest and make it funny, and it's not funny.
Exactly.
It really isn't. It's really what you just did was made us look stupid. And clowning us. And I have nothing against Charlize Theron. I love me some Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
Love her. I love her movies, everything. But we need our own magazine because, I'll give you an example. Kelly Washington, she is a fine actress. I've seen just about every movie she's been in. And until now, until she's in Scandal, and I don't even think she's either. Yes, she has been on the cover of a white magazine, only because of Scandal. She's
right.
never graced the cover. She's always a classy woman, always dresses classy. Her movies are great. Never graced the cover. And if you ever read any of these magazines, just go inside, they only cover the same black folks on the red carpet. You don't see any up-and-coming. When they do their up-and-coming, it's very rare that you see somebody black being mentioned as up-and-coming a star. So we need our own voice to talk about our own culture, and we're always ahead. And just like Latinos, they're always ahead. They know what's hot in their community, and they pick their people, the Jewish folks, all those. And there's nothing absolutely wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the individual parade. I get tired of people saying, well, we need to become one. We still can be one, but we can be separate because you have to learn about everybody's culture. And I don't like it that white Americans try to destroy people's culture, their language, who they are, what they eat, and what they're about, and saying, you must be this. And that's what that comes down to. Those magazines, and if they get control of our magazines and our media, what they say is, we're going to repackage this up, and this is what black, this is what black is. And they don't call it black, they call it urban. And I have a problem with that.
Right, but, okay, so here's the thing. And we did the story before where the editor of Essence quit because the...
No, was fired.
Was fired, I'm sorry. She was fired because the publisher at Time Magazine level said that they didn't want as many community stories or stuff geared just towards black women. They wanted it to be a women's magazine. So it's interesting that they come in and co-opt it to be this white women's magazine because it's all about women. So you're right. I think that is a black-on-black crime, not that I heard it from that perspective, that Jada, even in posing the question, is watering down the importance of having a black magazine. It's always been a classy magazine. Nobody's ever messed with Essence at all until, for some reason, everybody wants their urban cred card or their black cred card. So I don't care. Unlike you, I can care less where Charlize Theron is from. She's a European who lived in Africa who moved to America. So if you want to put European, African, American on there, fine. But I'm telling you, you can't pass for being black just because you're a white person living around black people. Like, I don't really get that.
And that's what they do. That's what they do. The group LMAFO, I just found out they were rap artists. See, that's not part of the black rap culture. That's not rap music. But see, this is what they've done. They repackaged it and said, this is what rap music is.
Club
you
music.
You know, I've heard them, and I love Justin Timberlake. They gave a review somewhere I read this weekend that said this was the best R&B album out. Nothing against Justin Timberlake. Nothing against. But he ain't got the best R&B record out.
And first of all, he's not an R&B artist. See, and so this is where I kind of get into this, because ever since he snatched the thing off Janet Jackson, but she took the blame and he didn't, I have a problem with this. Right?
Yeah, so I lost a lot of respect for him because he didn't come out and defend her.
Well, matter of fact, he did the complete opposite. He was like, well, I didn't know what was going on when I took it off. I thought it was a prop. He snatched off the cover and the bottom part. Like, he actually aggressively pulled it off.
Like, he practiced it.
Right, it was tearaway. So he did that. So we don't know if he did it on purpose or not, but he backed away from that, and he's doing Entertainment Tonight. And Janet's going in hiding, doing internet statements, apologizing. But nobody said he was a part of that and that he should make the same apology. But I digress in our black-on-black crime today because it's not about him. I just think he's a sucker, and I don't really have that much respect for him.
Well, I don't even care if they consider him an R&B artist. But what they're doing is they're repackaging and they're saying, well, this is what R&B is. But they're not saying Dwelle is R&B artist. They're not saying that Eric Robinson is an R&B artist. You know what I'm saying? They're telling us what hip-hop is, so you don't hear from Slum Village. You don't hear from, people don't understand that KRS is still selling millions of records, or Public Enemy just put out a new record, because they're saying that's not hip-hop. And why is that? Because they control it. And this is the problem that I have. If everybody say, you know what, it's time to end that. Yeah, we need to go ahead and share colors. You'll never get a black person on the cover, not unless it's Queen Latifah. Nothing against Queen Latifah. She made it. She should be on the cover. But you'll see the same ones over and over. If you don't believe me, that's why I got so mad with Essence. I'm like, why am I seeing Jada Pinkett, Queen Latifah over and over on this freaking magazine?
Right.
Now, I understand, because they're saying to us, well, this is who we consider black. You know, Megan Good, beautiful, model, everything.
Right.
Never seen her on a white cover. Never. And I
can name a thousand people. Take somebody young like Tatiana Ali or what's her name, Shirley Smart, who was in that movie?
What about the young lady, Killer in the Beat? She's grown now.
Yes.
Haven't seen him on a white cover.
Kiki Palmer.
Yes.
Yes.
Actress, now, singer, model, come on now.
Now, here's the problem. Okay, so since we're going through that, and we both acknowledge that is a black-on-black crime for Jada even pose a question, but there's this model, I think her name is Devin. She's a supermodel hopeful on Naomi Campbell's show, The Face. She revealed that she don't consider herself black. Now, she's a 21-year-old brown-skinned model who was asked during an interview, is it hard to be a black model? And she responded, I don't really consider myself a black girl model. I know what my ethnicity is, but I'm fair-skinned, and I'd like to have an international look. So Naomi Campbell, who was sitting off to the side with the other guests, overheard what she was saying and said, what the F does she mean? That's a disgrace. She's a black girl. Now, that is my point. She's 21.
Yeah. So, wrong. Esprit, it's like that all over. When they start telling us, like I hear these young independent artists coming up, they say, I'm not trying to be on black radio or just in black magazines. I'm trying to be pop and be poppy. See, pop means popular.
Right.
But you're still who you are, and that music is a part of our culture. And what folks don't understand is soul music, it comes from the heart. It's us. It comes from the street. I don't care if it's rap, jazz, whatever. It comes from the street. It's totally different. And for you to diss your culture and say, I'm not trying to go pop, that's why I've learned to respect what these people do. I don't like it, but I've learned to respect them so I don't knock what they do. But I have no respect for, I don't listen to Lil Wayne. I don't listen to Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because they say they're not this. You are that. As many times as Lil Wayne got pulled over, went to jail, don't you realize that you are, don't you realize they treat you like an end?
Right, and that's the point, right? It's funny that it's not that popular to be black. And even black people, especially when they're light skin, don't want to be black. That's what this is saying. Naomi Campbell, of course, it's her show. And she's disgusted by it. Now, I want to say that this girl, Devin, who is only one by one name, is a model from the Bronx. She grew up next to Yankee Stadium. A model stopped there when she was 15. She spent 4 years in a model contract, coinciding with her 4 years of high school. When the contract expired, she decided to take a year off. She says it was her senior year. She wanted to focus on school, graduating, senior trip, and the prom. And during that year, she got pregnant and had a daughter. So she actually is a single mother. And Devin worked simultaneously at a clothing store as a sales assistant, a hostess at Red Rooster in Harlem, and a hostess in a restaurant in Soho. Like, she doesn't distance herself from black people and their actions, but she on TV wants to be international. She doesn't want to be black. It's kind of how I read that. I'm not saying that about her personality. She'll probably curse everybody out.
And this is how they repackage us. They want us to not accept our culture. They try to
not
do
popular.
The same thing with Latinos. And here's the thing. I don't see them attacking any Latino magazines. I don't see them going after Telemundo, telling them, Telemundo, you need to have some white people on your show.
But
you need to have white people on the magazine.
But I can't make the argument that Telemundo don't have any black Spanish people on there.
They could say that. How come they don't have any black people? But they let them do their thing. They should let us do our thing.
Right, so they let the white Spanish people do that, and they take the sense of being minorities away from black people like they're equal, but the black Spanish people don't have any say either. So I think when you start talking about race, and this is Black on Black Crime, you can dial in and join us, 909-265-9189, if you want to join in the conversation, but make your comments relevant, avoid profanity and obscenity, except for finesse, or your butt's going to get muted or kicked out of here. I have to give Finesse a disclaimer because we should be cussing out this whole show.
Oh, yes.
Just, I had to run a disclaimer on it. Everybody else, you know, we've been at this for a while, so I think we deserve this one because this one is getting a little bit – people get beside themselves on black crime. So, honestly, I think that's a problem. So Jada, even bringing that up, going back to Jada Pinkett, comments about letting white folks on the cover, she's rich. I don't know a better way to say this. But when black people are rich, they do see the world a little bit more universal. And it's not about black and white anymore. It's about being people. You can live above that. I'm not saying that's not where she comes from. But she's making a case, and she says she's just posing a question. So I think she committed a black-on-black
crime. She's posing a question. And I understand because she gets picked up beyond these covers. And let's talk about this, too. These white covers are never going to choose anybody that's darker. See, they play more of that
Right.
This is what black is. They'll treat somebody light skin.
Right, but to her point, she's saying that if Essence and those guys choose more white folks, maybe white folks will let more black people on. I think she's wrong.
Is she crazy? Yeah, is she out of her mind? And yet they want you to go by. They want you to submit your script, and you can win $6,000.
Oh, God. Oh, we're not going to even go through that. And on that note, let's bring in Coach Dean. We have Coach Dean on the line. What's up, man? See, I had to rush out of that because you knew we were going to bash from last week.
What's going on, my brother? Well, Brother Esprit, you took the words out of my mouth because a certain young man who goes by the name of J.P. told me this some time ago, that when you are wealthy, you see things in a different light. And let's look at the history of Jada throughout her progression in Hollywood. You're speaking of a woman who pretty much has really done her own thing and lived her own life. But here's the interesting part about it. Through the works and efforts of black directors and producers, I don't know of many Caucasian directors and producers that she's done a majority of her work with. You look back on her film stuff, she's dealt with pretty much those folks who are black directors, black, you know, producers.
Minister
even
Society.
On the TV shows.
What was the one where she and Alan Payne?
That was Jason's Lyrics, but she was the one with Jamie Foxx and Tom Cruise.
She did the King and Ivy Wayans movie that he had.
Low Down Dirty Thing. But he was saying early on, because later on she did do...
She crossed over
with Nutty Professor and all of those.
But she also did The Matrix. But what I'm saying is, when you look at the start of her career, think about it. She was a hot female actress at that time. And I'm not saying that she didn't struggle, but her struggles were, I think, less than somebody else.
Well, I know her label was in Hollywood, that she, because if you look at the roles that she's played, she's played that angry black woman or one with attitude. If you go back and look at where she stuck, where her jump off was, which
different
was
world.
Different world. So
okay, but listen,
she kind of had
that is Hollywood's interpretation and Hollywood's vision of who all black women are.
Well, exactly, but it was kind of hard for her to get out of that and their perception. See, this is Hollywood has this perception, once they see you, this is all you are. And so once they see these black women act like that, they think that they're difficult to work with. So it's been hard. So she's got and thank goodness for the 90s, because a lot of these stars that you see today, if it wasn't for the black 90s films that came out, we wouldn't have Jada Pinkett Smith. We wouldn't have Angela Bassett. We wouldn't have a lot of these folks because they were no outlets.
Right.
Well, I learned something yesterday about Angela Bassett. She actually got her career start. Actually, it wasn't yesterday. It was Friday. She actually got her career start in theater. She never wanted to do acting at all until a director saw her on stage and said, "We need to put you on film." Because by the way, did you guys know that Antoine Fuqua is doing the movie about the devastation of the White House and the attack on America?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yep.
I did not know that. I just learned that. Oh, here's another one that I just saw as I walked out of Barnes & Noble. Guess who's on the cover of Elle magazine? Nicki Minaj is on the cover of Elle magazine.
Yeah.
It's not surprising. She's light-skinned, and she don't...
Hey, cut all the white skin stuff, man. Come on. Cut it all out.
Hey, and you know,
hey, man, I can't help it, because that's a whole other topic, discrimination amongst ourselves. I just finished reading something new about that, how blacks discriminate against lighter skin and darker skin blacks. And that's great, and Hollywood feeds into that, and they go right along with it.
All right, and you know that Nicki Minaj is probably going to lose her job at American, whatever it is.
Oh,
American.
Yes, she
is.
I think my cousin is.
Oh, no. All right, so we'll be back. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. I'm on with Finesse, on with Coach Dean, who has his show coming up soon, and we'll have more information on that. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back with our main topic, Janet Hebert. With Wendy Williams, we'll see what's going on with it. All right, we'll be back after this message.
When did you know that Grandma was the one?
When her sister dumped me.
Grandpa, was my dad a good athlete?
No.
Oh, yeah, and you remember my friend Alex.
Yeah, one who had the work done. Good to see you.
Where do we go when we die?
The ground. Who's your girlfriend?
His name's Chad.
And that's where babies come from.
Sometimes being too transparent can be a bad thing.
This looks good.
But not with the Oscar Mayer Deli Fresh Clear Pack. It's what you see is what you get food. It's Oscar Mayer.
Susie is dying to meet you.
Oh, steer clear of Kristen. She can't control herself around chocolate. She'll devour you.
Really?
I'd be a terrible friend if I didn't warn you. Gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for introducing us.
Anything for a friend.
Ooh, strong grip. Ow!
So, you want to grab a bite somewhere?
Here's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Only the best dishes make Applebee's 2 for 20 menu. And our newest entrees are just bursting with the jazzed up flavors of Bourbon Street.
Alan, stay focused, buddy. Just need to know that these are your best dishes at a great value.
Yeah, of course.
Who are you talking to anyway?
The world.
The new creamy Cajun steak and shrimp and Cajun shrimp pasta. Big easy means big value on our famous 2 for 20 menu. One app, two entrees, only $20. See you tomorrow.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's tri-zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended.
Ours, too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Strong. We're on with Finesse and Coach Dean. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What's going on?
All right, now, our main topic today is actress Janet Hubert versus talk show host Wendy Williams. Now, what happened was Janet Hubert, who plays Aunt Viv, she was the first Aunt Viv on the first three seasons of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She penned an open letter to talk show host Wendy Williams because she had a recent interview with Tatiana Ali. Now, about 3 years ago, in her appearance on a TV One series that's titled Life After, Hubert aimed to set the record straight about the show. And a couple of years ago, she was asked about the Fresh Prince reunion. She wasn't interested. And this, I know this is a black-on-black crime, but here's what she said. There will never be a reunion as far as I will never do anything with the A beep like Will Smith. He is still an egomaniac and has not grown up. This constant reunion thing will never, ever happen in my life unless there's an apology, which I know he doesn't know the word. Now, she said that about a few years ago, talking about Will Smith. Now, in Wendy Williams' interview, she had Fresh Prince co-star Tatiana Ali, and she was a little kid at this time, on as a guest. And during a conversation, she asked Tatiana, she kind of poked her to dish why Janet Hubert left the show in 93. It has been reported that she left the show because she violated her pregnancy contract. There's a term of pregnancy, and she got pregnant during the show. If you remember, she was pregnant during the show. And so I think they argued about the fact that she was pregnant, and she left right after that. So initially, there is, what was reported, there was a pregnancy violation in her contract. Now, Janet penned an open letter to Wendy Williams. She wanted to put an end to the mystery of her departure, and she said, "It was so damn long ago that I don't remember why I departed." Janet wrote, she said, "Wendy Williams, or whatever you're supposed to be, I'm not quite sure. I'm writing you yet again to appeal to your sense of womanhood or manhood, as some suggested." She was being mean. "Please close your mouth about things you know nothing of. Now, I watched your show because I see dear Tatiana Ali, sadly to say, fell into your trap. She even brought pictures of our days on the show from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, perhaps other black women have allowed you to berate them and continue to support you in this manner of madness and rewarding hatefulness. It seems to become the norm and has taken over our society completely. So I sat there and watched you, like some devilish sinkhole, swallow up Tatiana Ali. You reduced her to a child sitting there, attempting to keep some symbolism of dignity about her as you pried and invaded her life until you got what you want. You are such a demon, Wendy. You are wicked, awful, conniving, sinister, spiteful, jealous of every other woman. Simply put, Wendy, you're a virus. You are not nor have ever been a true woman. I just would like you to know who died and told you you were going to be reborn as Oprah. We'll start with Finesse. Is that a black old black cry that she lit into Wendy Williams?
No, I'm actually not going to. No, she shouldn't have. And I actually watched the interview, and it wasn't anything malicious. She just said, hey, you know, you guys had the reunion back in, like, 2012 or 2011. She said she noticed Janet wasn't there, why wasn't she, or whatever case. And Tatiana took it back to the beginning, and they showed a few pictures. And Tatiana was like, you know, I'm still in contact with Janet. You know, she taught me how to horseback ride. I was young, so I don't know exactly what happened, but It is what it is, and she just decided she didn't want to choose to do the show. I think it maybe was like 2-minute conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So for Janet to even waste her breath to write that was even crazy, but it's the way that she addressed it. She got down and dirty like Wendy Williams. So you committed a black-on-black crime and just made yourself even look more ignorant, and you're talking about Will?
Okay. Wait, okay, because I'm going to have to interrupt you. But before I interrupt you, let's go with Coach Dean. Coach Dean was in a black-on-black crime, but Vanessa was about to get flagged. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't about to get flagged. I was done.
Okay.
All right, listen, I saw the interview, too, and I posted the article. As a matter of fact, I sent it to Vanessa that he could read that letter. In the true definition of how the show is defining black-on-black crime, it is a black-on-black crime.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, from the standpoint of where she's coming from and how she's feeling, unfortunately, she's trying to inflict the hurt and pain that she felt and has seen other guests on her show go through when she's questioning them. She felt that and decided to put that in print. Because I've seen in other episodes and other shows where Wendy will sit there and really try to, like, come on, now you can say something and you can do this, which is unfortunate because that's the turn that certain media outlets and shows like hers have, you know, reduced themselves to. And it's just sad that she felt compelled to do that because, as you know, the three of us are embarking on a new journey in life. And that journey is to not put out that negativity as it will attract negativity. So it's unfortunate that she put that out there. And I'm going to end by saying this. Ain't no way in boo, she doesn't know why she left the doggone show back in them day. Because everybody remembers why they were fired and why they were let go. I don't care how long ago it was, everybody remembers. I remembered why I left Sears back in the day when I was in college.
All right, now
I remember why I got fired from Wolf, the black-owned radio station that committed a black-on-black crime.
Okay.
She know what she doing.
Wait a minute. Okay, so fine. She knew why she got fired. She was trying not to rehash it. Can't you see through that?
There you go.
She did rehash it by writing a letter. She ain't had to write
a
letter.
There you go.
No, I disagree with both of you. Here's the thing. Like, what happened in this case, because I can see her point of view, and I watched the interview, too. So here's the thing. When Wendy started asking her about, what did you say about one-night stands? What did you say? Tatiana said, she was like my mother. She taught me how to horseback ride. They are very tight. If you watch your daughter get berated to try to downgrade her, Tatiana's
young. Yeah, but
the
one-night stands wasn't in, and I watched it. The one-night stand was not in reference to Janet.
No. I am saying Janet's reference was how she treated Tatiana on the show.
There you go. Yeah.
But
that's on Tatiana.
Okay, that is your opinion because if you see that from her perspective, right? When you feel close to somebody and you see them kind of uncomfortable and squirming, you say, look, her history with Wendy Williams is Wendy Williams is gossipy and nasty, like, and she just kind of gave that back at her. But I think in Janet's case, I think she's right about this just because the fact that she is appealing to a young audience and wants to be messy, she didn't have to bring up that old Fresh Prince stuff because she could have just talked to Janet. She had an open letter to her before. She did this stuff before. So now you're going to ask the kid who said, I was in school, Wendy, right? They took me off stage. I wasn't on set all the time. I don't know what happened. You're still going to ask her about something? Of course Janet should have lit into her butt.
Right. Yeah, now, yeah, so I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all because, again, I've seen Wendy do that to a good number of her guests on situations that, A, could be in litigation and they shouldn't be discussing, and she's still trying to find a way to get something, some sort of response. And, again, let's look at who we're talking about here. We're talking about a woman who is very opinionated, and how did she get her start? She got her start by being dirty.
Right, and I'm glad you didn't hear what Finesse said either.
What did he say?
Because Finesse did what Janet just did after he defended.
Wait a minute, I've been saying that for years, so ain't no nothing new.
Okay,
and I still continue to say that.
I'm not gonna say it, but I'll let Finesse say it again. What did you say?
I think Carol said something about a woman, and I said or a man, and
see, and that's. And that was my point. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the internet comments on this one.
Can I just make one comment before you say
yes.
that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Both of you guys are forgetting, and Terrell was about to bring it up. This is Wendy Williams. She's been doing this for years. You already know what you're getting in.
Right. It's like going on Maury.
Exactly. So I'm not going to defend Tatiana because she knew what she was getting in before she
got
in.
Okay, yeah. Come on now.
I'm just saying. You already know what you're going to get when you go on the show.
Finesse, you are in the entertainment business. You know
that. I am, but that's not my side of entertainment.
Wait. Why
was
she?
We're talking about Wendy Williams. You know what you're going to get when you get on the show.
No,
because
you don't see it from that perspective. Why was she on the show? She was on the show because it was the last episode to promote the second generation weigh-ins.
And when you go on Wendy Williams, that's what you're going to get.
Wait, who cares? Wendy Williams is on BET.
So
they probably have a – listen, she probably has a contractual agreement that she probably was going to promote the show. So she goes on there in good faith to promote the show. Tatiana didn't – she ain't messy. You won't hear anything about her drunk driving. You won't hear none of that. So that was the point.
And I agree. But let me clear up one thing. Wendy Williams is on BET, but she's in syndication. That's not a BET show.
Well,
that's a syndication show.
Whatever she gets paid from BET.
Well, no, she gets paid. She's in syndication of BET because it's a show
that she does
promos
for BET.
I understand where Finesse is coming from the standpoint of saying how she should know, but I will also say this. I also agree with what you're saying, Ron, because here's a woman who is not dirty like that. But more importantly, Tatiana is young, and I got a feeling she don't really follow the Wendy Williams show.
Tatiana's
in her 30s now.
But she didn't know Wendy Williams when she was coming up. She's not from New York City.
And that's my point. My point was Janet is defending her because she's in a pit. And so you would think, and this is a part of her statement. She said, I am writing you yet again to appeal to your sense of womanhood. Now, she threw manhood in there, but she was just being mean. But she's just saying, this child is up and coming in the business. You don't dirty her like that. I know she's on your show, but she is appealing to that. So I'm saying, like any parent, you would look at somebody that's trying to take advantage. I mean, there's a lot of people who I want to curse out for doing stuff to people that I know when they was little. Still to the day. I'm not going to say no names, but still to the day, I would still do the same thing. So in Janet's response, I'm saying I understand where that is coming from because Tatiana is not one of those Hollywood kids. That she's not a Lindsay Lohan or whatever, a Paris Hilton. Just don't treat her like that, even though that's who you deal with on your show.
I hear you.
Let's
but look
get juicy.
At this. And this ties into what we're going to talk about later on.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What other show, even if it was looking at it from a publicist, and I could look at it from a publicist because I could do that. I could look at it from media because I understand that. So let's look at this from a publicist. She's going to talk about the BET show. What show was she going to go on? Was she going to go on The View? They don't talk about that show. Was she going to go on any of those shows? So there's no other show she could have gone on but that one. Now, it's up to Tatiana to say yes or no. I'm not defending. I'm not defending Wendy. Y'all know I'm not defending
Wendy. I know you're not. Mm-hmm.
But I understand the process. So in the end, it's still up to Tatiana to say,
I don't put no blame on that child.
But since it's a BET show, BET could have said, we have you booked for. So we don't know who even booked her, whether
right.
it was our publicist or BET publicist. But they know what they're getting into when they deal with Wendy.
Well, and that was my point. I'm thinking that since it was the season finale, and if we've watched this on other shows, watch our show tonight. It's the season finale, right? And so
right.
she was booked on Wendy Williams. They're in New York. She didn't go on David Letterman because that's not where their audience is. And
right.
speaking of that, in my entertainment section, they broke records on that last night for Real House Husbands and Second Generation Wayans for their numbers. But that was the night before she went on there. But to my internet comments, one of the internet comments said, "Bravo, Janet. I have a problem with this." That she said, "Rat." This person speaking at a women's empowerment event in North Carolina this weekend, when all she does is berate, degrade, and defile women constantly, I pray that one day she develop a conscience. And another one says, everything Janet said in the letter was true. Wendy doesn't have a problem with airing everybody else's personal business, but wouldn't dare share the dirty little secrets her curious husband has. She needs to stop degrading people just to get a rise. It's not right. Now, the only reason I read that in its entirety, because that's what Wendy Williams does. She throws out everybody else dirt, and then it's like, I mean, now I know she doesn't act holier than thou. I don't really watch Wendy Williams, so I don't really know. But she's playing to an audience. So I'm saying, although I'm going to give her a justifiable black-on-black crime on this one for Janet Hebert on this one. That is what I'm going to do, because I understand why she did it. It was a black-on-black crime by definition, but it was justifiable in this case. Wendy Williams commits black-on-black crimes every day on her show.
Well, you got to remember, too, Wendy Williams is Taz. You're talking about a person who was going to get beat up by a lot of people in the industry there. Like, they were literally showing up at the radio station when people were going in the morning. People were actually showing up. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she was let go from the station that she started out and she was on in New York City as a result of some of the things that she was saying and doing.
Right. What'd you say, Finesse? I didn't hear what you said.
Method Man is still looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, man, okay.
He is. Method Man, DMX, everybody.
Right. But, you know, and to the point is, I know the sensationalism of the Jerry Springers and Maury's and you are not the baby daddy kind of stuff. But all I'm saying is, in her case, I think Wendy Williams did cross the line. I know it didn't seem to be damaging to Tatiana. She just seems like a really classy, nice girl, like even on how she handled it. But to put her under that, I can understand Janet rage towards it. So here's the last part of her statement. She said, so here's my advice to you, Wendy. I want to help you. Learn to sit in a chair and stop fidgeting on camera. Wipe your giant teeth on camera. Smear your lipstick on it. Like, she committed a bunch of black-on-black crimes on this. But she,
exactly.
She said, wait.
She said... She wrote the letter in a way where she didn't.
Right. But this is the only way that she can hear her, I think. So she might have tried the other way, as far as I know. But the last part said, you have to stop playing a race card because you come off acting like a white girl who's never been white. I never seen a display of such hatred. Now, that last part, that last sentence, I have to say, I think she does come off that way. She does come off trying to be a valley girl and at the same time that she's trashing black folks. So I only read that part just to get to that last part. She made a point. Now, again, she gave it to Wendy Williams in a way that Wendy Williams and her audience can hear it so that maybe she addresses it on her show, because Wendy Williams only addressed nastiness. So she probably was doing that. I think Janet Hebert is smart. I mean, she was on Broadway for years, very successful actress on Broadway, and I don't take her as being hateful. I think that's a stereotype that's put on her anyway from the old Fresh Prince days. She didn't get along with Will. She thought he was a kid. You know, but that usually happens. That happened on Good Times. You know, Esther Rowland and those guys. Esther Rowland and those guys came out of very big theater backgrounds. And you guys,
see,
some guy yelling dynamite, and he's getting all the money.
But this is what happens when we don't control. We don't control our own, or we sell out. Because that's a two-parter. Because some people, and in my opinion, I think Wendy's, you know, I'm not mad at Wendy. Like I said, that's a decision you make. What we three do is different. But she made that decision. I'm going to beat this and sell out because this. And if she feels good about herself, that's fine. But when we don't, when we support that, I mean, look, I don't like TMZ. I hate TMZ. But I have to keep track of that and see what's happening news-wise because that's what everybody's into. I hate these corny beats on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. If I don't like it, I'm not going to sit here and have a Twitter beef. I'm going to come find you. Let's handle this the right way. But this is the era that we live in. So she can do her thing, you know, and hopefully, you know, our people who are in the media do something totally different to show another side.
Right. And I want to say that just generally, although I agree with that wholeheartedly, the thing is that some people just find that as their mechanism to put it out there. I mean, we've done shows on bad Twitter beefs and Keke Palmer having to go to Twitter just because people are, you know, saying stuff about her in the TLC movie and Nicki Minaj saying something on Twitter about somebody else. So, you know, we go to Twitter these days. The young kids do anyway. So, I don't know. That's not that part. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. You can join us at 909-265-9189. We're going to come back with some stuff that's going on in black radio. I don't really want to say black radio. The word that Pinesse doesn't like,
no,
urban radio.
Urban. Yeah, it's called urban radio. I'm confused with black radio.
Okay. Urban radio with black listeners. We'll be back after this message. Thanks for listening to Black on Black Crime.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
A little bit rowdy. R-O-W.
Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
How many more? How many more street corners? How many more schools?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more halftime moments of silence?
Enough.
For the children of Sandy Hook Elementary.
Demand a plan.
You can't win without a plan. I chose the game.
I played the game.
This right here?
Oh, baby, this is not a game. It's time.
It's time for our leaders to do something.
Demand a plan right now.
Right now. Now.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Two!
You sure?
I am absolutely confident.
Two times is awesome. The thing I can do is wave my head and wave.
That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
Look, I can do it.
Hold on, I'm watching this.
It's not complicated. Doing two things at once is better. And only AT&T's network lets you talk and surf on your iPhone 5.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving it the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posting and posting. All hail the King. Now, you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Dad, where do babies come from?
Well, there's a planet. It's called Babylandia. That's right, it's filled with babies. Uh-huh, babies of all kinds. And when the time is just right, there's a space launch.
All systems go.
And that, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
We're on the bus, we're running round, running round, running round. We're
wheels on the bus go round and round.
Dove Men Plus Care presents How to Stay in Shape. Step one, gotta work those arms.
How was it?
Good. Step two, keep those legs strong. And step three, don't forget your back. Dove Men Plus Care. Care for what matters.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, hanging out with Finesse and Coach Dean. You know, before we get started, you know, that Spike Lee commercial reminded me of the streak that the Miami Heat is going on. So I want to ask you two the sports question while we're on. What do you think about this streak that they're blazing through? Coach Dean, hit us off with first.
First and foremost, for something like that to happen in this day and age in professional sports is pretty monumental. I remember a few months ago when the Heat weren't playing well and a lot of people wanted to say that they sucked and they're not going to repeat, they're not going to do that, and they need to make changes. And one of the things that I said was they're right where they want to be. It's just a matter of them saying, all right, now it's time to play. So the streak basically... it's monumental, number one, and number two, it's actually causing the Heat to get their mindset right for the playoffs and the road to the NBA Finals, because to do all of this and not win the chip, it's going to be bad and you're going to get talked about. And I think as a result of them winning their first title, this is something that's going to unify them. But more importantly, it's going to give them that extra fuel for them to get it done. Jordan said every year that they won their title, they had to find something to feed off that motivated them to want to go out and win the chip. So this is something that's, like I said, it's pretty monumental.
And I don't want to hate on them or even talk about what the playoffs is going to look like, but the record just seems to be out of reach, because even when the 72 Lakers did it, the ABA had first started, and they had a lot of people out of the league. So I think there was only 16 teams in the league or something. It was something small. But, Finesse, what do you think about the run?
Well, being a Heat fan, I think it's great. I think it's great for the NBA because it gives them something to cheer about. And it just goes to show you, it takes a while for a team to really gel. I mean, the Heat have been together 3 years. The first year, they all didn't know their roles. They still made it championship, but they ended up losing because they didn't have to find roles. Second year, they won it, and this year, they're really coming together. Everyone knows their roles, including the bench, and it would be nice to see them at least break it. Well, let's see after if they get past the San Antonio Spurs. I think that's going to be the greatest challenge, but I think it's great, man. It's great, and people not hating on LeBron no more. You know, there's some that don't like the LeBron, but he's starting to get a lot of love because the streak is actually an awesome streak.
Well, the haters of LeBron have been quiet since he had that run of 30-plus over 60% shooting, and that started before the streak, I think, didn't it? So,
yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, and so they were quiet a long time ago. People are just waiting for them to fall, but I can tell you, as a fan of basketball, and not just playing basketball, but as a fan of it, they made it to the NBA Finals every year they were together so far. So there is no failure in that team. I don't care what you say. It's hard to make it to the finals.
Exactly.
That. All right. Now, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our calling number is 909-265-9189. If you want to check us out during the week, or send us a note for some stories, like some folks have done in the past, you can send your comments to or your story suggestions to bobc@soulofsyracuse.com. That's BOBC, Black on Black Crime, @soulofsyracuse.com. Our last and final topic for today, I mean, we have the world of entertainment if we can get to it, but urban radio. In urban radio news, Michael Bazin has been locked out of his studios before his self-imposed departure on April 1st, which means all this week he's off. Now, Michael Bazin announced a hiatus from his radio show on his Facebook page. The hiatus will begin on April 1st, and he was on air for 10 years.
Correct.
And, what's that?
Well, finish it, and then I'll correct you.
Okay. Now, this is a news story that I'm reading, so I didn't write this. But the news story said that he is now in his 10th year. Bazin wants his radio family to know that he did everything in his power to continue the Michael Bazin show without interruption. He, in his quote, says, "In their actions, all their actions does is make me more determined than ever to come back, and the next time there'll be no middleman between me and my affiliates and my listeners. Lessons learned. Now it's time to get back to work on a comeback, and I'll be kicking butt and taking names when he returns." This is what he wrote on his Facebook page. He said, "I'll miss you, family," is what he said. Now, he's already planning to return on the air with the Michael Bazin show, but a more direct relationship with the affiliates, because it is his distributor or the media company that has those agreements that locked him out. Now, he said, most importantly, his business manager said that they are working on direct relationships opposed to working on getting another distributor of his program. By the way, if you don't know who Michael Bazin is, he did the 1 Million Mentors national campaign that participated in over 65 cities, so he has been doing some work on his show. Although I don't particularly listen to it, but go ahead, Finesse. You can make your corrections.
As of last week, when that story first came out, when Michael Bazin and George Wilbon tried to go to work, I believe it was last Thursday or Friday, the radio station locked them out. So they are no longer on the air as of now.
Right. And they're going to run reruns until
yes.
the first.
Until the first, but as any far as any more original programming, that's out.
You know, it's like that when you get fired, because they're saying they don't want you to go on the air and say anything negative about them for the whole week. So they pretty much decided to run reruns.
Well, here's the thing. Bazin walked away from the table. They were still trying to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and said things that he basically said he was quitting. So once you put that out there,
right?
They say, well, you're going to quit. It doesn't make sense for us to continue to have to pay you these next 2 weeks. We could just run a program. So he kind of shot himself in the foot by running off at the mouth. He should have waited and then did what he was supposed to. Got clearance, they agreed on things, and then, you know, how he wanted to go out, and then gone from there. For him to do it the other way, man, that just hurt.
Right. And I guess the disagreement was between him and the company that it distributes, or he has a company that is the middleman between him and the radio station. So his contracts between him and the company that distributes the show was the problem, not between him and the affiliates.
Well, the affiliates get the contracts from the distributors.
Right.
But it's like, these shows are owned by ABC or Clear Channel or whatever. And the thing with Bazin was his major affiliates were dropping him. Dallas, New York, Philly, I believe Atlanta. So when your major markets start dropping you, people start paying attention. And then other markets decided they were going to drop him. And see, it's not about the host. It's always about the advertisement, folks. It's not about, I don't care who it is, it's about the advertising. People always say, well, how does Russ Limbaugh stay on the air? I saw some comments about that. Because he's pulling in advertising dollars. Let that fool not pull in advertising dollars or start getting dropped. He will get the same elimination process as Michael Bazin.
Right. And I'm not going to really comment. I'm not a big fan of Michael Bazin. I have listened to it and I guess they do what they do, kind of like when people say that about the Wendy Williams stuff. They do what they do, and I let people exist without saying we need to boycott or shut down. But a part of Michael Bazin's problem, I guess, was the content. And I'm trying to think of who was the radio station. Kathleen's not with us, but the radio station that switched or was sold in the New York City area, one of the older black radio stations was sold.
It was 107.5.
Okay. And there's all
98. There's KISS 98.7.
Was it? Okay. And so with them being sold, I know the community says we're missing this piece of getting news and information out, but do we feel like we're missing anything when Michael Bazin is out of there? I don't know, Coach Dean, if you've listened to Michael Bazin, but I'm not making a judgment on his show or anything, but go ahead.
With Bazin's show, and I can't go into other details because I've been told I can't say that or I could be in trouble.
Yeah, don't do it.
So, but with Bazin's show, Bazin had a lot of listeners in the very beginning, black, white. When he started changing the format of his show based on whatever reasoning he thought of, the ratings start going down, people start complaining. He's done some great things, but over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, in order to please his advertisers, he's decided to take the show in another direction. That being said, once he did that,
they didn't follow him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and this is where we talk about, you know, going back to the magazine where Essence is not owned. Here we have a man, and I would love to see, and I have to be careful what I say here because we've got folks listening to us from Radio 1, so I can't say anything out of the way there. But I would love for Kathy Hughes to say, hey, let me pick up Bazin and put him on my market.
Right.
But it comes to a thing of what are you willing to accept? Now, I'm just saying randomly, I don't know how much Michael Bazin make it, so I'm just going to say $3 million. I don't know what Kathy Hughes may say she may pay somebody. I'm just going to say $1
million. Right. But
will Michael Bazin take a pay cut to do this? If not, then you're not checking your ego because it's supposed to be for the greater good. And I always tell folks, and I always quote this man, because I love this man. Harry Belafonte says, I'm chasing Hollywood. There's no difference between $700,000 and $1 million. You guys
right.
Figure that out. Because somebody's going to say, well, yeah, it's a few hundred thousand in there. Understand what he's saying. Stop chasing the money.
Right.
Money is money. It'll come. So would Michael Bazin fall back for $1 million? I don't know. But I would love to see Kathy Hughes or the Cherry family, which is out of Daytona Beach, Florida, start picking up some of this black program. This is where we need black distributors. And don't tell
right.
me it can't be done because I watched Berry Gordy do it and lose it. I've watched Suge Knight do it and lose it. I've watched Mr. Silvers do it
right.
and lose it. Those are three black examples. If you don't know about it, go read your history. And we have
right.
too many millionaires right now. They want to invest in something. Stop investing in stupid alcohol and sports drinks and invest in something which can make you more money in the long run, and that is media. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, now, before, I know that is funny to me for some reason. Like, everybody has a kind of a, let's get a club and let's get a
how much water can we? How much water can we make?
Oh, okay. Okay, you're not going to get a flag from me, but I'm just saying.
How
and
much
by the
vodka
way,
can we make? How much?
And since you brought this up, I do want to say that, you know, I know we did this in that news break, but do you know, Mike, the Motown, the musical, made over $1 million just in a 7-day preview? It doesn't even start till April 14th. They already made $1 million.
And how much is Barry going to get of that?
I have no clue. I'm not going to even go there. Not today. And by the way, and speaking of, we should go into World of Entertainment while we're at this, BET dominated the primetime ratings with the season finale of Real Husbands of Hollywood and Second Generation ratings. Now, their closeout ratings, they said they received nearly 6 million viewers for both finales, and it was the highest rating on cable for that time slot. So Real Husbands of Hollywood is now cable's number one sitcom amongst adults from 18 to 49 so far this season.
Let me tell you, perfect timing. You got Kevin Hart deserves a lot of credit. Whoever else came up with that concept, but also the promoting of it, because I guarantee you, his guest spot on Saturday Night Live, which was about 3 or 4 weeks ago, if people didn't know who Kevin Hart was from a crossover audience, they got a chance to see it and make the decision if they liked him or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that elevated that show. In order for that show to get 6 million viewers?
6 million. Well, wait a minute. But their season premiere, their first show, got 4 million, and they were number one on their premiere.
Now, and him crossing over got another 2 million.
Right. But
you see what I'm saying?
So oh, yeah.
We can have our own. We don't need to be over on Fox or CBS or NBC. It's all about the promoting and having a good product. And again, I want to give props to the Wayans. They
oh,
always,
right.
besides the one show that I could not stand.
That would be
the Wayans
brothers?
Wayans brothers. But everything they do it with class and style, and they get a following. And I don't know why I don't know why CBS or Fox is not saying to Keenan Ivory Wayans and Sean and Marlon, hey, come produce some television shows. What? I don't understand why Radio 1, Aspire, Bounce TV, you're looking for programming. This is proven talent, and I know for a fact that those guys would lower their price and take some on the back end because
right.
I know how they work.
Here's what you got to take into consideration. Maybe they did approach them, but I actually happened to see an interview with Marlon Wayans, and it's actually on The Breakfast Club if you go on YouTube and YouTube it. And he basically was talking about how Hollywood is, and he talked about the money issue. But if you can get Mega Millions from doing a film, which is something that you like more so than anything than doing TV and sitcom, then why not do that? I mean, look at Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, it's so interesting because I went through my brain. Eddie Murphy has a bunch of movies that are out there. So why wouldn't he want to do a TV show? Well, the money is really not in the TV show. And then the creative geniusness is not necessarily in the TV show. A certain somebody who shall remain nameless, but their initials are J.E., had a conversation with me years and years ago talking about how in television that everything is a cookie cutter of it within itself. Friends is basically the same as Living Single. So there is no quote-unquote originality. When you look at The Real Husbands of Hollywood, the only thing that makes that are the guys who are in there. But when you look at it, it's actually a parody of all the Real Housewives shows. But it's taken from a male's perspective.
And it's meant to be that way. It is meant to be a parody.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So technically, there is the only creativeness that's in it is the fact that, you know, they are who they are and they bring what they bring. Chris Rock said it last night when I was watching them when they were talking about that last movie that he did with I can't remember the name of it, but it was him and the dude from King of Queens and David Spade and other cat from Saturday Night Live where they were dads. And anyway, he basically was talking about he doesn't remember his lines anyway. So when he gets on set, he is free to kind of, you know, do what he wants. So it's kind of like a Saturday Night Live parody. The work that you have to go through and put into doing a sitcom and a TV show, I think, is a lot more intense. Whereas if you're in film and in movies, it's a lot less stressful. You have more fun and you have a better opportunity.
But you're talking about one film. That model, whoever said that information, that's maybe in the 70s and 80s, but that has changed because the money is now in syndication. So
it's
if you want a television,
yeah.
You want to get a television show so you can be on it. It used to be 5 years. You could do 4 years and you're still getting paid. Like Janet Hubert, she's still getting paid from the Fresh Prince. So you want something like that. And my thing is if you want programming, see, we're original. We always come with original programming. You know,
right.
Look at the game.
You've got to have a certain number of episodes to go into syndication. That's
right.
The reason
you have
why
to have
that's why Charlie Sheen is back on TV because he's going to get more of his anger management show. I think he's going to have something like 250 or 350 or something ridiculous number of episodes in order to be able to go into syndication.
Yeah, you have to have 100. So, but you have to have people that can produce you quality shows.
Wait.
That's going to get there.
Okay.
And they'll get that. And they'll get that. But what's happening is we have black media that don't want to pay. So we're seeing the same library shows. And this is why I said, and I said this last week, we don't need all these black networks. That's the ego thing. There's no reason why we're not investing in what we already have and grow that brand before we get into another brand. There's so much out there. There's a sister that does a cooking show. She could be on BET. I'll give you another example. Why don't we have our own Pipe View show? You don't think that would create no numbers? And that could be live or taped. But that would be a real easy show, and you could bring out all these different artists. And but we don't. We wait till it's the last minute. Don't let me. If I got a traveling program, look, I can show you. I can turn a station around in a year.
Wait, but here is where Real Husbands of Hollywood is doing exactly what you're saying. Because
exactly.
if you look at what they did, right? They didn't go. I don't know if they shopped it to other networks, but that is. It came from Chris Spencer and Kevin Hart and those guys doing it on the BET Awards or something, doing that segment of House Husbands. But check this out. If you look at it, the executive producer is Kevin Hart, right? Mm-hmm. Stan Latham, Martin, all of Steve Harvey shows, Moesha, Stan Latham, Sanaa's father, Stan Latham, Ralph Farquhar, Married with Children. He was the executive producer of Married with Children and the Parkers and all these other shows, Jesse Collins, who did the 54th Annual Grammy Awards, Tim Gibbons, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Betty Wright's Off Your Rocker, Chris Spencer, of course we know, you know, Def Comedy Jam and the MTV Awards, Music Video Awards, he actually produced those. David Becky, Everybody Hates Chris, you're talking an all-star production team. Not just that they're all-stars on camera, it'll be like when your friends get together and say, yo, we're going to take pay cuts, and we're about to blow this out of the water.
That is exactly
what just happened on BET.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. You got to sit down and have these discussions. And I know the Wayans brothers because they know their value, and they know they're going to get it. I'm telling you.
Right, and Marlon is producing one of the executive producers of the Wayans show. Like, so they got together to produce that, yes.
So there's so much out there, but – you know, we black media has it filters down. If black media is not paying, then we have these other businesses that don't want to pay. We got other businesses that don't want to support. We have to stop that, and it starts here. And I'm telling you, if we did that and controlled our own, the game would change. Then you could get a balance on your movie, your magazine cover. Or on talk shows or different shows. But until that happens, exactly. We have to change the game. If we don't do that, then it's all going to stay the same. It's on us.
Yeah, and I think with the Real Husbands, I think they're changing the game.
Yep.
I think that is a prime example. Now, BET is not owned by black people, but the point is well made, is that when your friends can get together and lay out a program, it don't matter what network it's on. It'll beat everybody else and knock them out the box. That is my opinion. All right, Coach Dean, I want to give you the last word. I know you didn't speak about that, but did you want to talk about that, Eddie?
Well, first of all, it is a funny show, man. I don't normally sit and watch TV and laugh, but there's some of the stuff that goes on, and I'm cracking up. So, you know, I just think what both of those shows are doing is just tremendous. And I got to tell you, it's so good to see my man George back in front of the camera and as well as behind the camera. That's the guy that was from My Wife and Kids. He was the son
right.
from My Wife and Kids. I think, you know, he is a good actor, period, because I don't know if you remember. He got his start in New York Undercover.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was young G.
So it's just good to see good comedic fun on good TV shows, and it's edgy, but it's funny edgy, you know? It's like the stuff that we would do, and it's funny.
Right, and that's why I said it's cool that they're friends and they actually get together to put together a quality project. All right, so Finesse, Coach Dean, hey, we'll see you guys again next week. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Join us every Monday. All right, Finesse, I'll give you some parting shots. Make it hot.
Gotta do better. Gotta do better. Support one another, and just really, really spread the word. All you people that's on media, blog, talk, or whatever, do Do a better job producing your show. Make it professional, baby.
All right. All right, so we'll see you again next week on Black on Black Crime. The commission should be here. We might have Kyra.